and welcome to the Ready for the Right Guy Global Telesummit. Thank you so much for being here. I want to congratulate you for saying yes to the possibility of having the relationship of your dreams. I'm your host, Michelle Marchant Johnson with Love Life Coaching, and I'm known by many as your guide to the right guy because I want you to be with a guy who is right for you and who makes your heart sing. After a long and winding journey to love, I found my own Mr. Right and became an ecstatic first-time bride, marrying the man of my dreams at age 43, and I am now blessed and honored to help support many single women throughout the world meet and attract their own Mr. Right and have the love they've always dreamed of. This virtual gathering is designed to give you renewed hope, inspiration, tools and resources to help support you on your journey to love as we begin 2015. And I'm thrilled to tell you I've gathered some of the world's top relationship experts to give you some of their best wisdom, advice, and guidance. I'm so excited about interviewing our guest today. She's out there making big things happen for her clients in the world. And I invite you to give yourself the gift of being fully present and freeing yourself from all distractions. I know you'll enjoy the interview, and you may even want to take a few notes. So it's my pleasure and privilege to introduce our wonderful guest today, Marnie Batista. Welcome, Marnie.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm so happy to have you here, and I know you're going to give our ladies some really juicy wisdom today.
Absolutely. I could go on and on about all this stuff for hours, so it's nice to have people actually want to hear it.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to be sitting here just hanging on your every word, so be fun. So just a little information for those of you that are listening to the call about Marnie. Marnie Batista is the founder of Dating with Dignity, and she has professional training in dating and relationship coaching, as well as training in the core energy coaching process from the Institute of Professional Excellence in Coaching. She is a certified life coach through the International Coaching Federation, and Marnie is also a master practitioner at administering an energy assessment, the D Factor, which helps clients pinpoint exactly why they are or are not dateable, and what type of messages they are unconsciously broadcasting to men based on their thoughts, feelings, actions, and attitudes. Well, that's a big one. Our feelings, actions, and attitudes, and sometimes that's happening without us even realizing it. Right, Marnie?
Well, absolutely. In fact, I think that you know, for women who have it sort of all together in so many areas of their life and they're used to achieving their goals and, you know, effortlessly, you know, a lot of work goes into it, but to the world it looks effortless. And when you are unable to just figure out the love thing, it's really kind of a relief to know that, oh, there's something going on that I wasn't aware of. And once we tap into that, you know, then those same people, they're like, great, you know, give me something to work on. They use all that effort to unfold the right direction. And then, you know, you get to get what you want, which is a loving relationship.
Yeah, and I know that you're going to be sharing with us today some really important ideas around this. And the title of your topic today is Three Mistakes That Make Men Vanish, Love, Sex, and Dating Secrets That Relationship-Ready Men Wish You Knew. So let's get right into it. So I have a lot of questions I want to ask you, so we'll move quickly, Marnie, but I'm just wondering if you can start out by telling us some of the most common ways that women sabotage their own dating goals.
Well, let's see. I think the first thing is that women are blaming the circumstances first. You know, like, and I'm sure you get this in all the work that you're doing with your clients. You know, if you grab a group of women, you're like, so why do you think you're single? You know, and in fact, I actually went to a singles event recently, and I love to, like, you know, play the research card and be like, why do you think you're single?
Yeah.
The biggest answer is, well, there's no good men in insert name of city. And I have done this in Los Angeles, New York. I've talked to women in Fargo, you know, North Dakota. I've talked to people everywhere all around the world. And so, you know, there's no good men. The other thing is, you know, good men don't want to date women my age. Or, you know, I intimidate good men. You know, whatever the circumstances. And so it's easy for us to go there first, because as smart, successful women, we want to feel in control.
Right.
So if we focus on the external, we have the illusion that it's something that we can change or blame, but we don't have to sort of go inward. And so one of the biggest things women do is, you know, they're like, well, it's the obvious, it's X. And that is an external thing. So it's time to sort of say, let's take those things out of the equation, because once the mindset and all the other pieces are in alignment, it doesn't matter where you live. Honestly, if you're divorced, if you have kids, what you do for your job, how much money you make, doesn't matter. The formula works.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's so funny that you say that, because I've heard the same thing from women all over the world. No matter where they are, I've heard those same themes. And when someone is focused on those things outside themselves, it can also make it easy for them not to take an active role in creating what they want in their life, because they think it's beyond their control on some level, right?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, look, I consider myself amongst you, fellow listener. You know, like, I like to be in control. I joke I'm a recovering control freak. and it's nice to think, well, okay, it's this, so then if I just fix that, you know. But I think we all have this aha moment where we're like, wait a minute. You know, I keep doing the same thing over and over again. Maybe the same guy, different face. Or, you know, different guy, same type of guy, same bad outcome. So, yeah, so the invitation is to put that aside and start digging in the right hole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you'd say a big one is blaming circumstances.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to transition here for a minute and ask you a few questions that I know many women have on their minds and would love to hear your thoughts on. And we're going to swing here into actually dating. And I wonder, Marnie, this is a big question that comes up all the time. How many dates do you think a woman should go on before deciding if someone is worth their time or not?
Okay. Well, we're going to talk about dating, but I can't help myself because this is what I do. The question itself reflects a mindset piece that needs to change. So I'll start first with the easy answer. How many dates? You know, in the industry, we're like 3 dates. So I would go with the 3 dates. However, let's see if we can make those dates more interactive than just dinner. I think dinner or lunch or coffee, you know, anytime where you're just sitting across from someone and you're sort of observing the way they hold their fork and how they cut their food and who they talk with their mouth full, it's not really the best environment. You know, God forbid it's a sushi date. You know, I've had women like, oh, God, he picked sushi, you know. So get out from behind the table. Anything when you're doing a new activity that both people have never done before, you're sharing a new experience together, that's a great way to create connection and intimacy. I'm a fan of the most simple date, you know, like the walk and talk. Go for a hike, go for a walk on the beach, go for a walk in a park. Men are more likely to talk when they're walking. And so it doesn't have to be expensive, but doing things that allow you to share rather than just sit across the table from each other. So if you've had one date like that, one walk and talk, and one experience that you share together and it's still not a match, feel free to move on. So So that's sort of piece number one. And then the question itself, and I want to be really specific, you said, before you know, it's a waste of time, right? Is that how the ending of the question went? I just want to be very clear.
If it's worth your time to continue, yeah.
Okay, if it's worth your time to continue. So embedded in that, and I love that you asked that question because you're right inside the minds of our people out here who are listening. And when we say, you know, it's not worth my time or is it worth my time, the focus is on the destination and that interacting with humans, if I don't get what I want, means it's a waste of time. And that is not sexy. Right? Nobody wants to be sitting across from you feeling like they're being judged whether or not you, human, are worth my time, right? Like,
right.
I'm more important than you. And what I teach people, and we're going to make this available to all your listeners for free, I talk about leaking. And so if you have this attitude and you go out on dates and you're like, okay, Joe, I'm here to find out if you're a waste of my time, you leak that. And it doesn't matter how skinny you are. It doesn't matter if you got the perfect blow dry. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If you come across that energy, and we interviewed tons and tons and hundreds and thousands of men, they're like, that sense, that feeling like she's trying to see if I'm, like, worth her time is such a turnoff that he will, like, put on his Nikes and, you know, run for the hills. So if your mindset is, I'm trying to see if a guy is worth my time or men are a waste of my time or, you know, that was his loss, that is indicative that there's a mindset piece that we need to shift so that you can come across as this amazing, desirable, confident, fun, flirty woman that he wants to spend more time with, not run away from.
Yeah. Oh, I love that advice. And I love your advice about having something in those first dates other than sitting across from the table from each other where it feels like you're sizing each other up and it can kind of feel like a job interview, right?
Exactly. And men don't like that.
No. So we hope that there's some chemistry or some connection on those first three dates. But another question that I know women often ask is, what is the best way to tell a man if you're not interested?
Well, I keep it pretty simple, and it's being direct but also being really kind. And I'm laughing because I'm thinking of a story I want to share about what not to do. So really simple. You want to give them a compliment because, again, we're sort of dating with the point of view that all humans are amazing. Some less
yeah.
so than others, and not all are your match, and that's not their fault, and it's not your fault. So you're going to be like, wow, I really appreciate that you took the time to take me out. I really appreciate that you sent me all those amazing emails. I really appreciate that you picked such a cute coffee shop, whatever it is. I know exactly where I am in my life and what I'm looking for in a relationship, and I know that we're not a match. I really enjoyed spending time with you, getting to know you, whatever it is that you want to put, best of luck on your search, period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you've gone on one date, you can send that in a text message. You can send an email. If you've gone on those three or four dates, I think it's worth it to have a conversation. I think it's sort of good dating karma. Now, this is what I love about this little tool, is that you know you're dating better men and you're on the right track if he simply responds like, thank you for your honesty, you too, you know, something that's sort of in the positive realm. Now, if someone was like, wow, you know, you didn't even give me enough time, or, oh, yeah, this is what always happens to me, or some sort of comment that is in the negative, it is not your obligation to respond. And the reason that I was sort of giggling before is, you know, I had a client who used this. We were just starting to work together. And the guy said, wow, well, I guess maybe you're just in it to go out to dinner or something like that. And it triggered her, right? It triggered her.
Yeah.
And this is what happens, right? And again, it's really just an opportunity to go like, wow, what's up for me? So she sort of slipped into being unconscious, and she was like, you know, well, what do you want me to pay you back? Right? Totally. masculine. And, you know, the guy was like, well, yeah, actually I do. And I was like, oh God, I was like, no, you didn't send him a check. Oh, she's like, you bet I sent him a check. You know, she was like, I needed closure. I needed, and, you know, it's a mistake with a little M, and if this stuff is happening, it's like, okay, great. What's going on in me? And that was super masculine, right? So she's like, wow, I need to kind of look at my masculine energy. I need to look at what made me feel so triggered. Why did I need to send in the check? What is that about? I needed completion and closure. So if you have a we're not a match conversation and it doesn't go well, you know, instead of going, oh, see, dating sucks, you know, or men are jerks, just go, what can I learn about myself, take it into consideration, and then move on?
Yeah. Oh, I love that advice. And I love your advice about wherever possible, ending on as positive a note as possible by paying someone a compliment and being respectful and treating all human beings as amazing, because all human beings are amazing. They're just not all the right match for us. And I do believe that's really wonderful dating karma. I also really appreciate your advice about kind of keeping it short and sweet and to the point and not being drawn into long conversations. I've seen women who start to give men reasons as to why they're not the right fit for them or they're not the right match, and it's really difficult to pull that off without it becoming offensive or hurtful.
Well, yeah, you know, if he needs to know that, he can get a dating coach. That's not your job.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So, Marnie, many of our listeners may not have even really been dating for a long time. They're maybe thinking about or considering wanting to get back into dating or to meet someone. Perhaps they've been through a heartbreak or disappointment or a divorce. So what's your best advice for a woman who's been off the market for a while and wants to start dating again?
Well, first of all, don't listen to anybody who says, oh, my God, dating is so hard. It's so hard out there. It's crazy. You know, don't watch shows like Catfish. Don't look around the media to find evidence that it's hard and scary and men are bad. Because I think that what we do is, you know, again, this desire to be safe and in control gives us a great way to sort of start collecting evidence to keep us safe and stuck, but also single. So number one is don't believe everything you read and everything you hear. And then really learn these sort of three principles, right? So if you're getting ready to date and you're going back out there, kind of like a little assessment, are you ready to date? Number one would be like, how's my self-worth? Do I feel awesome? Do I love myself? And by that, I don't mean like, yes, I get a manicure and a pedicure. You know, it's like when you know, the bad stuff hits the fan and you're laying in bed at night or you're looking in the mirror, are you thinking things like, I'm unlovable, I'm not good enough, it's not going to ever happen to me, I'm too fat, I'm too whatever. If that's where your mind goes in times of trouble, you want to work on the self-worth part. So you got to have great self-worth, and you also have to be in a place of, I don't need a man, but I want one, and it's like juicy and delicious, and my life is amazing, and so who's going to get to come and be part of my life? So that's number one is self-worth. Number two is sex appeal. So where are you, and we're not talking about being sexy, slutty, we're talking about where are you in terms of your femininity? Are you comfortable in your femininity? Have you found your own brand of femininity? Because it doesn't mean, you know, you wear dresses all the time and you're girly girl. It's what's your authentic, I call it your sexy alpha femme. You know, how are you navigating between being, like, strong and in control and also being feminine so you can attract the right type for you? So you got to kind of make sure your femininity is in order. You're good at receiving. You're good at letting a man treat you really well. And then the last piece is your dating savvy, and that's all around skills. So do you have a good online dating profile? Is it written for a man, not for your English teacher from, like, you know, freshman seminar? Do you have a great picture? Do you know how to communicate really well and be flirty and feminine? Do you know how to get a guy to pursue you without being the pursuer? Like, where are your skill set? And for anyone who's like, oh, Lord, you know, I'm not there yet. Well, great. It's, you know, a cool century we're living in and a cool time. And there's a million experts and coaches just like you. So it's like, great. Take advantage of all the resources. Build it. You know, it's like the field of dreams. Build it and they will come.
Yeah, I think those are three really interesting points that you made there. The self-worth, your inner worth, and like you said, if you've got that negative messaging going on, you know, all the good ones are taken, I'm too old, I'm too fat, whatever. If you've got those things coming on, it's very difficult to even be able to see and recognize good men when they show up. And I love when you said, I don't need a man, but I want one. And I do think that's really appealing and really sexy, because women today are strong and independent, and we like to feel that strength that we have. And yet, most women on a deep core level would like and appreciate having a wonderful man in their life. So I love that you said that. And then the dating savvy thing, I think it's interesting that we're sometimes expected to just kind of know these things. For me, that didn't happen. It took me until I was 43 to meet and marry my Mr. Right, and I had to get some support to make that possible, and have now made this, you know, my life's work and study, because that was such a journey for me. I used to joke around and say I was going to write a book called Dating for Decades, chronicling all my experiences. So, Marnie, here's a question that I know is foremost on a lot of women's minds when they are starting to date and getting involved with someone and getting to know someone. And I know you're probably asked this all the time. So when it comes to hooking up, there seems to be two schools of thought. So one school of thought says sex before commitment never leads to monogamy. And the other says that without sex early on, you'll never know if you're committing for the right reasons. So I'm just curious to hear your thoughts and point of view on this. And I know our listeners would love to hear what you have to say.
Well, first of all, I'm a believer. Well, my brand is Dating with Dignity, so you could probably, you know, if this was a quiz, you'd probably get the right answer. I believe the slower you go, the faster you get there. But let me tell you why. I'm not about the rules. You know, I'm not about saying no to sex, a big manipulation to get him to fall for you. A couple things. One is, and this is primary, your dignity and your self-worth is the most important thing to me. So you get to decide what makes you feel good about yourself. Now, I know a lot of women are really good at compartmentalizing, and I used to be here. I'm like, hey, come on, I'm like a horny 4-year-old. Why can't I be one of, like, why can't I just get it on? You know, guys get to do it. Until someone asked me, well, how's that working for you? So we have to sort of put that aside and really look at, like, what makes me feel good. And the litmus test is if you decide, you know, I'm good with it, I can sleep with somebody, and it doesn't matter if he doesn't call me back because I'm a modern woman, is that really true? Because I've talked to so many women who are like, you know, I'm cool. Like, I knew he wasn't really the guy for me, and I just wanted to have a good time. And then, you know, we're having a conversation, and they're like, oh, I wish I wouldn't have slept with him. I'm like, well, why? I don't know. Maybe just, you know, maybe just it put him off, or maybe he thought I was a... And I'm like, okay, you are not as cool as you think you are, sister. So your dignity has to be intact. So whatever it is for you, exclusivity, monogamy, dating other people, but he's not sleeping with other people. I mean, whatever it is for you, you figure that out, and then that's your boundary. That's your rule. And your dignity is kind of the tool you use to figure out what works for you. So that's number one. Number two, and I love this one because it's actually really fun. If this is your guy and you're going to be with him for eternity, once you start having sex, you kind of stop making out. And come on, ladies, making out is pretty freaking awesome. And And right, and once we're like in it to win it, we're just having lots of sex. So you know, go back to high school, round the bases. You know, the slower you go, there's nothing more fun than kissing someone for a really long time and being like, I gotta stand up. You know, like I might pass out. I'm so hot and bothered. So I enjoy that. That's like beautiful. That's like the courtship. That's the honeymoon phase. Like, keep it going. The third thing is, once you start having sex, you kind of stop talking as much. And so, you know,
the nonverbal communication takes over.
Exactly. And, you know, one of the things, and when I was dating the man who's now my husband, you know, I, you know, really was practicing all of these Dating with Dignity tools. And so we would have these amazing dates. And then we'd go to this one beautiful hotel after the date, and we would just close it down, having coffee and tea, and just talking and talking and talking and holding hands and kissing and looking into each other's eyes. And, you know, I'll never forget, you know, it was like 7 weeks of just, like, hanging out and really great conversations and getting to really know each other and making out, you know? And so I think that if you just sort of, like, rush it, you miss all that. You miss really getting to know somebody. So that when you do decide to have sex and it's right for you and it's right for him and it's sort of within your contract and your dignity, you actually, when you actually have sex, you're not just having sex, it's more intimate. And so, therefore, the slower you go, the faster you get there. That's my spiel on Just Say No.
Yeah, very well said. I really appreciate what you had to say there, and I completely concur. I have spoken to so many women over the years, and I can tell you that I've never had one woman say, I wish I'd have slept with him sooner. I've had wish I had waited longer before I got sexually involved with him. And so I think there's so many reasons, you know, whatever your, you know, belief systems are and whatever allows you to feel that dignity that Marnie's talking about, I think there's so many reasons to give yourself a chance to get to know a man on a deeper level before you go there, because it allows you also to understand more about him and his character. It allows him to have an opportunity to step up and be a man and romance you. And I think there's just so many lovely things. Like you even said, even the making out, when you said that, it made me laugh, Marnie, because my husband's 5 years younger than I am. So when we were dating, I was like early 40s and he was like mid 30s. And our first kiss, we were taking like this adult education class that we knew each other but not real well, and we just had barely started dating, and it was held at a local high school. And so our first kiss was in the car in a high school parking lot. Isn't that hilarious?
I love that.
I haven't told very many people that, but now I just did.
That's so awesome. Right? That's so cute. I love it.
I know. So that's funny. Every time we drive by that high school, we both just laugh. So once a woman is in a relationship with a man and she's kind of starting to feel like there's some potential there, I would love to know your thoughts on who you believe should instigate the talk, you know, the big relationship talk, and also some guidelines as to when it might be too early to put your cards on the table.
Well, I think it's never too early. Yeah, well, I don't feel like it's ever too early to put your cards on the table, especially if you say it using dating savvy, right? Like, you have that really good conversation. You make it be about you and what you're looking for versus, so where do you think this is going? So I think there's never too soon. And then, okay, remind me, because I was so focused on that. What was the other part of the question?
So who do you believe should instigate the talk. And maybe give us a little guideline around that.
Yeah, well, I think it's okay for a woman to have the talk. In fact, I was just my daughter is in college and she came home for the weekend, and she has a boyfriend and they dated in high school and they broke up. You know, they did the like prerequisite, we're going to break up because that's the right thing to do, and they ended up getting back together. But she was here for the weekend, and she, and so I believe there's, you're never too young to use this stuff. She said, I can't believe that, like, I'm the one who, like, had the relationship conversation with Alex. And I was like, you go, girl. And she used it. I'll teach it to you. And she totally used it, and it worked like a charm. And there you go. And they're the cutest little couple ever. So it's good, you know. But it's great. So here's basically the way it goes is a version of the we're not a match conversation, and then it follows the same structure. Compliment. I love that you always make me laugh. I really enjoyed getting to know you and spending so much time together. You know, compliment, validate, acknowledge. And then you're going to talk about what it is that you need and where you are in your life. And so it's like, I'm in a place right now where I love my life, and I'm so ready to share it with someone else, and I can't wait for that relationship. How about you? Right? Like, where are you at in your journey? And men who feel like they have a choice are men who move forward. Men who feel like they're up against the wall, run away. So a guy gets to be in this space of like, wow, she knows what she wants. That's pretty sexy. Am I that guy? Am I ready to be that guy? And if he is, awesome. And if he's not, more awesome, because he goes away. And you haven't taken up any more of your energy, you know, and you're clear and you have information and you can make a choice based on that. So I think that that's a really important thing. And I can't tell you how many clients I've had who've had this conversation. And for the guys who were like, I'm not sure, she sort of gave them a chance, so to speak, you know? And if it stepped up and they started to see each other more and more, you know, it turned into a relationship. And then there were these guys where she was like, this is what I want. This is what I'm looking for. And they were like, oh, yeah. But then they don't, doesn't move forward. They don't make a priority for the relationship. It's like, you know, we're totally looking for different things. I understand that in your heart you feel like you want a relationship, John. And words and actions aren't matching to what I need, so I think we're not a match. So it's really empowering. It's kind. It's great dating karma, and you get what you want.
Yeah, and I love how you scripted that out for us, Marnie. I think that's just so very helpful for the women to have a lovely script that they can personalize and follow. And when you gave the example of kind of how a woman might have the relationship talk with a man, what I liked about it, too, is that it didn't sound so heavy. You know, sometimes I think we make these things unnecessarily heavy, and it almost makes the man shake in his boots before you even start to speak, right?
Exactly. Exactly. You know, men are pretty simple, actually, way more simple than we are, I think. And they want to be with a woman who they feel good around, right? Mm-hmm. That they're called to be a better man. In fact, I was just watching, you know, I joke that I watch reality dating and love shows for my profession, but I also like them.
Right.
And I was watching this really interesting show called 90 Day Fiancé around these people that come from overseas to be together. They fall in love in another country, and the only way they can sort of be together is if they come and get married in 90 days. And there's this guy, and he's like a player, and he had a long history, and his brother's like, why this woman? You know, like, what about her made the perpetual player fall in love and want to be with her? And this is a comment I hear all the time from men. He's like, I don't know. I feel good around her, and she inspires me to be a better man.
Mm.
And that's simple. That's not like, wow, man, well, she was so hot, and you know, she had a rocking body, and like, you know, she's got a great job, or she drives this car. Like, men don't think that way. Maybe women might answer the question that way, but he was just like, she makes me happy, and I want to be a better person when I'm with her. And that's what, I think, generally speaking, that's what men are looking for. So when you're into it, like, so where is this going? They're like, oh, yikes.
Yeah. Yeah, if it's, and I love what you said about choice. When a man feels like he has a choice, he's much more able to step into that space than if he feels like he's being given an ultimatum, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Ultimatums. And let me clarify, because I think this is a really important thing. That doesn't mean that you don't get your needs met, and there's these choice points in relationships, and either guy is called forward to go in the choice that says, yes, we stay together or not. But again, it's all about the dating savvy and the femininity piece. Like, you got to say it in the right way. You got to have the skills. Because I think, again, this is sort of universal truth. And I know even in my own story, because I was with my now husband for 5 years, and we had a breakup, and I was like sad, obviously. But there was that, like, do we get back together conversation. I wanted to get married. Like, I was done. I was like, I don't want to be the 65-year-old girlfriend.
Right.
Thank you very much. I want to be a wife. Like, you know, sue me. It's funny. But anyway, and it was like, look, I love my life. And to be honest, like, you're amazing and we're amazing and I'm never going to find you again. But I will find love. I'm confident of it. And I'm going to move forward in that. And, you know, when we share that story and he shares his piece of it, he has like, the minute I thought of you with someone else, like, I really had to decide if I was going to do this or not. Like, what was my own piece? And that wasn't an ultimatum. That wasn't like, you need to decide whether you're going to be with me or I'm out of here. It was like a different energy, a different framework, a different context. And, you know, he will tell anyone who asks, you know, that conversation, he was like, wow, she really is going to move on. In fact, she's like sort of got a foot out the door. And it called him to decide, and he realized, you know, he didn't want to live without me, and got engaged, and now we're married. And so it doesn't mean that you don't get what you want. It doesn't mean that your needs aren't important. It doesn't mean that you communicate it. It means that you do it in a way that's loving, that's mature, that isn't a threat. And that's going to inspire the right guy for you to stand up.
Yeah, I love what you just said, because that feels so empowering and so respectful to both the man that you're dating and to your own needs and wants and desires, which are of deep importance. So I've just got a couple last little questions, and we'll have to move quickly, but I just wonder if you can tell us, Marnie, if there are some early warning signs that might alert a woman that a man might be a potentially bad match for her or make a person undateable. Because I know people want to make good choices and they want to, you know, not get involved and I'm just with someone that could be, you know, harmful potentially. So I'm just wondering if you have any thoughts or guidelines on that.
Well, here's the thing. If their words and actions don't match, he's not for you.
Mm-hmm.
If his words and actions don't match, he's not for you. In the online dating realm, I'm going to take it back even like one step closer to, like, you know, when you first meet. If he doesn't make an attempt to see you, he has no pictures, he doesn't want a video with you, Skype, FaceTime, like all the, and I, you know, and I see really smart women get catfished online sometimes, and it's, they, you know, oh, I lost my phone. It's like crazy how really smart people put off the whole physical piece of it, and they're really satisfied to have this online pen pal. So if, ladies, if there's not, you see this person either online through video, all technology, or you don't meet him, that's a bad sign. Run away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cyber daters. Some of these guys are cyber daters. I don't know if they ever get one. And I love what you said about the words and the actions matching up, because that is so key. And I always tell women, if his words and his actions are inconsistent, pay attention to his actions, because actions speak louder than words.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, Marnie, I'm going to give you a chance to kind of give us one little parting word of wisdom in just a moment. But before we do that, I know you have a really yummy free gift for the TeleSummit participants, and it's a video training series that you have. And I'll have you tell us a little bit more about it in just a moment, but I want to tell everyone how they can get that. And you would just go to readyfortherightguy.com/Marnie, and that's M-A-R-N-I. So readyfortherightguy.com/Marnie. And I think your series is called 3 Mistakes That Make Men Vanish. Is that correct?
It is.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the free gift, Marnie?
Yeah. So this is not a Band-Aid approach. It's not a quick fix magic pill. But what it really is for the woman who is ready to sort of take responsibility for getting inside the minds of men and learning from that so that they can make the slight adjustments in the way they're dating to actually attract the right guy for them and find love. And so there are these 3 mistakes that we're making, and we talked about one. We talked about leaking. And there are 2 other ones that once you know this, you're not going to hear it anywhere else. You're going to be like, oh, my gosh, like, I can fix that. So we're going to take you through these 3 mistakes. We're going to help you figure out if you're leaking, what you're leaking, how you need to change it. We're going to uncover these other 2 mistakes that really do make men disappear. And then we're going to give you sort of the solution so that you can start dating better men, the men that don't vanish, and really find the love of your life with a guy who's going to love you back. So it's 3 videos. They're about 15 to 25-ish minutes each. There's a little bit of homework. You know, this is actually a coaching video. And I'm so passionate about giving women an insight that they've never heard before so that they can find love like I have and like you have. And it's not just like reserved for the lucky or special people. You ladies get to have it. So I really invite you to take this gift from me. You know, people pay a lot of money to have this sort of secrets, and I just am like sort of over that. It's like we all deserve to find love. So I'm excited to work with all of your listeners in this sort of online format, and happy to make it available.
Thank you so much, Marnie, for your generosity. And I know that you'll all want to be able to get additional information and guidance and wisdom from Marnie. She's doing amazing things out there in the world. So, again, we invite you to go to readyfortherightguy.com/Marnie and sign up for your complimentary free gift. So before we close out for today, Marnie, I just want to give you a chance to just kind of leave a couple of ideas or one idea on just some parting wisdom you'd like to share with our audience.
You know, I'm going to say this, and I feel so passionate about this. In fact, I did a video to my own list about this because I was so confused. You're here, listener, person, right? Like, and you're smart because you're here, and you're going to hear all these amazing experts, and you're going to have a lot of information. And my invitation to you is I'm going to pull the coach card. I'm going to be like, you know what? Stop wishing for a relationship and wanting love, and stop settling for the ahas. And they're like, that makes so much, this is so great. Like, move from information and education to lasting transformation, which means take action. Do something. Whether you dive into the gift that I'm offering you and you don't just download it, but you sit and you schedule time in your calendar and you do the work, you take the services and the products that are being offered on this entire series, working with Michelle, like I don't care what you do, do something. Stop researching it and start getting into action and get the help that you need, because you know, it's like a GPS, right? And it's programmed to the destination love. And when you get off track, your GPS recalculates and gets you back on track. So the information is great, but action is what gets you there. So it's time to just not program your GPS, but recalculate, get action, and you will find what it is that you want. So that's sort of my challenge is I'm frustrated by people who want love and they sign up for stuff and they, you know, they don't do it. I don't want to just be sitting on your hard drive.
Right.
You know? Right? So that's my invitation. Take the summit, take what you're doing, and take a step. Take a next step.
Thank you, Marnie. I love that. I love that parting piece of wisdom from you, and I'm so appreciative of all of the wisdom that you've so generously shared with our audience. And we also want to thank each of you for being with us and hope that you will be able to catch many of the summit interviews from over 25 love and relationship experts. And we also want to invite you, because we know your life is busy, you may not be able to catch them all, to upgrade to the Ready for the Right Guy Global Telesummit VIP package, which includes the MP3 recordings, interview highlight sheets, and summit bonuses. And you can see all of the details and get that at readyfortherightguy.com/ready. And during the summit, it's just $97, which is $100 off the post-summit pricing. So again, check that out at readyfortherightguy.com/ready. And be sure to get Marnie's complimentary video series at readyfortherightguy.com/Marnie. So thank you to each of you for being here with us today. Marnie, again, I want to thank you. And we look forward to having you with us for more of the Telesummit. Marnie and I are both sending you lots of love, many blessings, and wishing you happiness as you get ready for your right guy. Bye-bye for now.
Bye. Thanks.